Motorcycle Sunday is the perfect example where a place where people can come and they might not be normally accepted in normal society. What is normal anyways? And that's the beautiful thing about Motorcycle Sunday and events like that and our church, that people can feel comfortable. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. You don't have to have money. Most of us here don't have much anyways. Amen? But we know we can come here because we're family. I really wanted to read this. It was really on my heart. It says Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
I think this is pretty
good. Thank you. Thank you. What life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We're a big, happy family. We're not perfect. We're a big, happy family. And grace, like I said, guys, at the beginning, it is a game changer. That is the difference between darkness and light. That's the difference between forgiven and unforgiven. We're going to jump back here. Last week we were talking about, when we were looking at the early part of chapter 1 of Ephesians, I focused on the point that every one of the 13 letters that were accredited to Paul, in part of the introduction, it was Paul's wish because he knew that was God's will for your life, that grace and peace would be appointed to you, regardless of what you were going through and what your situation was. It's God's will that grace and peace be appointed to you. We touched on for a second about this idea of chosen and predestined and adopted. And I dodged that bullet a little bit because we didn't have time to go into there. But God is long-suffering. In 2 Peter 3, it talks about how God's foreknowledge knows everyone that's going to be born, what's going to happen, how He works that out. He's God. We can't possibly, in our linear minds, conceive all of that stuff. But God is long-suffering that He desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. All to come to repentance. We also seen a part in first part of Ephesians where we're guaranteed eternal life with Christ through being marked with the Holy Spirit. A down payment, if you will. Accredited righteousness from the Old Testament point of view. That we are forever in God's hand. In John 10:25, in that whole little section there, Christ is telling the disciples, you're in the Father's hand. No one can take you from it. And then Christ comes back and says, you are in my hand. No one can snatch you from it. Guaranteed promises. That's awesome. That's awesome. We heard a little bit from Fred, too. Keep Fred in prayer. Guy's going through his stuff with his family. It was awesome when we said a couple times to see his mom here worshiping and rocking out to the last tune. It was awesome. But Fred spoke his heart and he told us what it was like before grace came. And he told us what it was like after grace came. We're going to jump into a little bit. I'm going to read a little bit here. I got it. You know, as an elder, one of our first and most important jobs as elders is to preach and teach the Word and pray. Pray, pray, pray. For ourselves, for our family here, to lead you guys, to help you guys, to encourage you guys. And as I'm praying and leading in front of a device that I cannot stand, a laptop, and I've killed quite a few of them, just ask my wife. But I got an email from Keith Skilling, and it was truly 2 Corinthians 11 stuff, when Paul was talking about the stuff he was going through, how he still said, you know what, it's all good, because I have Christ's grace in my life. And many of us sitting in this room and downstairs this morning can feel a kinship toward this kind of email here. I want to cut out the part where he's talking about me, because it isn't about me. He says, I have been hospitalized 5 times since last November. God's grace is the only reason I am here today. Since August, I have been told twice that medicine can't explain my health condition improving. On one occasion, a radiology oncologist told me he could not explain how a tumor had shrunk by 80% in 6 months with no medical intervention. In November, I went to the hospital with kidney failure. The dialysis machine being used fizzled out halfway through the procedure. The medical technician, Gladys, had to hand crank the machine to return the blood into me. She then had to go find another machine and restart the procedure, even though she was in a tremendous amount of pain from hand cranking the previous machine. My kidney doctor told me after my release from the hospital that it was a miracle I had survived. I fell into 2% of people who end up with kidney failure due to a medical interaction. My sin, this world, Satan, you name it, has come my way, Keith says. My very existence is out of Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. I was going to read a little bit more here. Each and every one of us can attest to stuff that's happened in our lives that we cannot explain, that we could not have anything to do with fixing that problem. Let's put it that way. I love this part of the scripture. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. We were deserving. Our sin causes us to be guilty, and the penalty is death, Romans says. Objects of God's wrath. Christ hung on the cross and took the Father's wrath for us. Amen? He took our place. Some of us in here might think, well, I'm a good person. I help out. I don't think bad things. By your very nature, you're objects of wrath. Because God is holy and righteous. Cannot enter heaven being imperfect. And all the work we do down here does not make us more perfect. All the volunteering at church and all the praying and the studying does not make you more perfect. What makes you perfect is when God the Father looks at you and He sees the blood of Christ on your heart. That's perfection, because Christ is perfect. Amen? Amen. Now, as we were just talking about objects of wrath, I would like to ask a former object of wrath, Mr. David Ferguson, to come up and share with us for a few minutes.
You know, it's really interesting that having heard the statements that Gary made, that none of us are worthy of God's salvation, but simply because He loves us. My name is David Ferguson again, and I'm a resident of Wayside Cross Ministries. I've been attending here since February of last year, so just over a year. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and I've been here since about the age of 6. I am the oldest and only son of 5. Share with you an incident I had concerning my age. Part of my responsibility at Wayside is I do intakes of potential residents. And so I get to talk to a lot of directors and social workers and people of that sort. So one young lady called me, and she was giving me this, giving me some details about a potential applicant. And so she said, and so I asked her, I said, well, Because what she was saying, it really wasn't, you know, he wasn't sounding too impressive to me. So I asked her, I said, well, what is his age? And she said, well, he's elderly. He's about 50. I said, so I said, wait, hold on. I'm going to be 64 this year, and I don't consider myself elderly, so we need to change that. You know, and it's interesting. I'm a senior. I'm elderly because society says so. But in my mind, in my heart, I ain't no ways tired. So, you know, don't even go there. Yeah. But I consider myself a product of the late 60s and early 70s and everything that went with it. And I enjoyed it, the getting high. I mean, all of it, name it, I enjoyed it. But God began to work in my heart, like, towards the middle 20s. And, I mean, I fought him tooth and nail all the way. I did not want to give up my life, but he won, of course. I'm a licensed preacher. I've been preaching since 1977. I pastored two churches, and I don't really talk about that because I'm not here in Aurora for that. That was a season from July of 1987 until April of 2004. I was pastoring, and again, that was just a season. I like the concept of stress. I love the concept of stress. The amount of stress that a submarine can handle determines the depth in which it can plunge. The amount of stress that an aircraft can handle determines how fast and how high it can fly. And the same with spacecraft. If it can exit out of Earth's atmosphere and into space, that's determined by stress. And even though I love the concept of stress, I hate being stressed. And right now, God has me in a lot of stress. And I hear, and it's like I'm crying out, God, I mean, I need some help here. You know, I know, as I stated, I was pastoring. I was just for a season. My next big objective, I'm going to run for the United States Senate in 2012. And everything I'm doing is preparing for that. But one thing about God, he will give you A and tell you Z, but he doesn't tell you anything in between. And that's where I am now. It's like, I mean, and trust me, I'm hurting. I am hurting because I don't know. You know, we love to talk about Peter walking on water. We love the Bible stories. But when God put you in those situations, it ain't fun. Like the brother was saying, you know, where's the money going to come from? Yes, we know he's going to provide. But between here and then, it's no picnic. And so God has me in the state of no picnic. But I'm thankful nonetheless that he can trust me. And one other thing, and I'm done. You probably heard the saying many times, that be careful what you ask for, you might get it. And like I was sharing with one of the brothers, that has not been my experience. You know, I ask God to give me something, and he gives it to me, and then it's like, oh, God, why did I ask for that? No, my experience has mostly been I've asked him, and he hasn't done it. It's like, you know, God, why are you doing it like that? You know, I'm trying to tell you how to fix it if you would just listen. But of course, you know he doesn't listen. So my thing now is just by faith, I've got to trust him and let it go at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. There's another name to put on your prayer list from now on. I wanted to touch base and close here, guys, with Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to jump in here. I'm going to read for a minute. Taken off from the objects of wrath, scripture there in Ephesians 2, verse 3. In 4 it says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus." The world desires to distract us with all of its riches that are going to... The moth comes in and eats and destroys with rust. When true riches, true treasure, true joy, true happiness eternally is centered in the one and only Christ Jesus. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I wanted to close, guys. A lot of you guys maybe know former Mayor Michael Bloomberg, Big Gulp Bloomberg. I got a quote from him from a couple weeks back. He made a statement. Now, as I'm reading, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God." Michael Bloomberg, former Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York City, was being interviewed, and they were asking him about his legacy, if you will. He says, and I quote, "I am telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not stopping to be interviewed. I am heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close." End of quote. Survey says... Pray for Michael Bloomberg. A messenger from God brought in a little gift earlier. And it's not about, I'm not going to open it, because it's not about what's in it. What it is about what God says. Now, you can attend church, people can evangelize to you, you can cry out when you're like, "Man, I used to be an expert, when I used to get arrested when I was in my teens, I would get in my little prayer closet in the closet of my parents' house and say, 'Lord, please don't let me spend too much time in jail. I'll be good.'" And most of the time I didn't. And most of the time I wasn't good after that. In fact, every time. Because it was a situational crying out. I had tons. I went to church when I was a kid. My parents used to pack us up, me and my little brother, in our nice little suits and send us off to Church of Christ for Bible study and Sunday morning and Sunday school. I had all kinds of head knowledge, but it never pierced here until 1995. If you can raise the thing, please, for a second, guys. The screen. Thank you. Now, granted, the dandelion thing here is a weed, but God can use all things for good. Amen? What I see is a picture here is of God and what is called in Hebrew the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of the living God, the wind from God. It goes out throughout the world, long-suffering so that none perish, that everyone would come to repentance. The gift is there. The little seeds are flying all around us. I was cutting the grass yesterday. Believe me, they were. But it's not enough to know about God, guys. You see the gift? The gift is there. You have to say, "Lord," in Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, it says, "The wages of sin, singular, is death." Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, you are saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you are saved. You have to believe and receive the gift, guys. You have to say, Lord, come into my life. Come into my life. Have you received the gift today? I challenge you guys with that. And we've said this before. Salvation isn't a byproduct of who Christ is. Grace is not a byproduct of who Christ is. Christ is grace. Christ is salvation. And it's in only Him that true joy, peace, happiness, and eternal life with the living God happens.